Good morning.
We'll start with yourself, Claire. Your reaction to what's happened in the last 12 hours?
Well, I think it's more chaos and it's worrying. I think it has brought us closer to a crash out no deal. And I know, you know, there's some, the Rees-Moggs and the DUPs who are determined to keep no deal on the table as some sort of kind of macho man power play with the EU. But this, it's hard to articulate just how catastrophic it would be for people's lives here and for the economy here. And I think we've all become, in Northern Ireland, a wee bit used to negotiations being, you know, you throw some shapes and there's some tough talks and then, you know, close to the end, there's a bit of a fudge and you all get thrown a few quid to behave for a while. And the EU don't deal in negotiations like that. They deal in detail and policy.
Then surely, Claire, should you not be getting behind the PM on this to avoid a no-deal scenario?
But this is the point that the PM did, and last week she looked like she was facing it down. She was accepting some of the realities and the fact that the red lines were contradictory in the publication of this white paper. And while there was a lot in the white paper that I didn't think added up, it was basically the government saying, right, we've kind of run around this for 2 years, but this is our best guess. And she capitulated on that last night. So what she has done is, for the last 7 months, articulated a particular view to the EU and had the backstop at the bottom. And I want to come back and give you our view on the backstop. But now she has to say, yeah, this worst-case scenario that we've spoken about for 7 months that I have stood behind, I can't give you any more. And the backstop, I want to be very clear, the SDLP don't want to use the backstop. Our preference is for a solution in which both islands are in fully aligned to the single market and the customs union, and that's the only way to prevent a border on one axis. But the DUP need to explain how an east-west and Irish sea border in there, as Sammy Wilson said yesterday, is politically and economically unacceptable, but yet they're prepared to risk one on the island of Ireland. So what we have is the DUP grossly misrepresenting Northern Ireland's position and Sinn Féin not bothering to represent it at all. And I think people should remember that this came down to three votes, and the difference between a no deal and people's businesses and lives surviving might come down to three votes, and our MPs could absolutely make the difference and be the margin for error if they choose to represent people.
Okay, Jim Allister, the amendment was backed by the DUP. Does it have your backing?
Absolutely. Last night was a good night for Parliament. They made the right decisions on key amendments. Amendment 37 was essential for the integrity of the United Kingdom. It makes it very clear that, contrary to what the EU has been demanding in their misinterpretation of the backstop and their legal text, that there can be no separate tariff regime for Northern Ireland, and that is a death knell to the EU's interpretation of the backstop. And that is a good thing, because it maintains the economic integrity of the United Kingdom and ties us to our biggest market, GB, rather than cutting us off.
Where does this leave us, Jim? There are some that will claim everyone is wanting what they want, but not everyone can have what they want in the end.
Well, we know what we want. It's what the people voted for. The people have made this decision. And all the shenanigans that we've seen going on by those who refuse to accept the referendum outcome are to try and thwart what the people wanted. But let me just remind people, we had an EU referendum in 1975. Those of us who didn't want to join the common market as it then were defeated. We had to accept that. We had to wait 40 years for a chance to do anything about it. We then had a referendum in 2016, and those who lost, they won't accept the outcome. They're conniving and colluding to try.
Well, I don't know if that kind of language is helpful at all. And of course, you know, some of the issues people have is that with Brexiteers and people that were campaigning, their follow-up plan in terms of what was going to happen next wasn't very thought through. And that's why we're in this difficult situation that we're in now, Jim.
That's a very non-objective observation by a supposed independent panel chairman. I think if the BBC, and of course it's no surprise,
I think you'll find I didn't say it was my opinion, Jim, but do continue.
The first programme that the BBC
Jim, I did not say it was my opinion, but if you want to respond to that, there are people that say, look, those campaigning for us to leave, to vote to leave the EU, they did not have a follow-up plan.
And they're wrong. What the decision was very clear. We're leaving the EU. To do that, you have to leave the customs union, you have to leave the single market, and the shenanigans we've seen ever since is to try and keep us at least one foot in each and try and tie us back into the single market and the customs union. And that would be disastrous and totally defiant of the decision of the people of the United Kingdom.
I'm not going to waste all of our time going over this ground, but very, very, very clearly, there wasn't a plan. And senior Brexiters, including Dan Hannan, Nigel Farage, Boris Johnson and others, all said that we could stay in the single market and have an EEA-type arrangement. And in terms of... we just had to accept it when the UK went into the EU. They didn't. They banged the drum and went on about it for 40 years, and I don't think they'd expect those of us who take a country view. That's not how democracy works, that if one vote has one outcome, that everybody just goes away and pretends it didn't happen. But the Brexiters need to make up their mind on two things. One, Jim Allister and the DUP and Sammy Wilson and others have spent months and longer telling us that those talking about a border on the island of Ireland are fear-mongering and that borders can be invisible and seamless and frictionless. How can they explain the fact that they can be seamless and invisible and frictionless across the island, but it's somehow intolerable down the Irish Sea? And the second thing they need to make their minds up is on parliamentary sovereignty. In terms of the request for a meaningful vote on the deal for Parliament, the Brexiters have said, no, absolutely not. It has to be handed to the Prime Minister only and the Cabinet only. And then when the Prime Minister and the Cabinet came up with their white paper, the Brexiters are forcing changes to it. So they're saying the Parliament can have a view so long as it's a Brexity view, but if it's not a Brexity view, it's only for the Cabinet. I mean, the cakeism, the having their cake and eat it on absolutely every issue is all over
Parliament has made the key decisions. Parliament has passed the withdrawal bill, which says we're leaving on the 29th of March. That is the sovereign will of Parliament. Parliament last night decided to maintain the integrity of the United Kingdom constitutionally and economically. That's Parliament making its decision.
I presume you support
one at a time. Jim, will you finish your point and then Claire will come back in?
What Parliament's role in all of this is to implement and adhere to the decision of the people. Parliament decided, and the government was very clear, that whatever the outcome of the referendum was, Parliament and government would legislate for that. And the problem that Claire has is, because she doesn't like the outcome, she is striving with others to try and defeat that purpose and keep us within the
Claire?
EU. Well, I'm sorry.
Well,
we're not saying
I'm glad
the decision of the people.
Right, Jim, let her respond.
I'm glad to say that Jim now supports Parliament having a final vote in the meaningful deal if he thinks that Parliament should be the final arbiters. Clearly, anybody can dig out the material that was sent to them by the UK government for the referendum that did say that, yes, leaving the single market would be one of the options, but not the only option. But the fact is, these things are going through. Parliament and parliamentarians are deciding on it, and we can't lose sight of the fact that we are the most affected in Northern Ireland, a substantial majority of whom voted to remain, and an even greater majority of whom in recent substantial polling say they want to remain. But our MPs, of our 18 MPs, 10 of them are chugging down extreme Brexit and trying to make it, as I say, some sort of chest-thumping macho man plan, and 7 Sinn Féin MPs just aren't turning up. We are being misrepresented and unrepresented, and it's an absolute travesty. If a no deal will devastate Northern Ireland, and only one of our MPs is prepared to do anything about
it. OK, let's go to the phones. John in Ballygolly. Good morning to you, John. Go ahead.
Morning there. The point Claire Hannah just said about misrepresentation, the MPs represent those areas. Those areas in Northern Ireland actually did vote for Brexit, so that's a misrepresentation there, first of all.
Well, sorry, just for a start.
Sorry,
you put a point here, John, let her respond.
Well, my MP, for example, 70% of people in my constituency voted to remain, and our MP is voting for extreme Brexit. So, you know, I don't, by the way...
I apologise, I got that point wrong.
And okay. They have to, you know, I think MPs are there to vote in the interest of people, not just the people who voted for them, what they want.
It's a party.
For the best.
Okay.
It's a party.
And according to
one at a time, please. One at a time. Right, John, you want back in there.
Please. If a party is pro-Brexit, then of course that party is going to represent, as in the Conservative Party is pro-Brexit, even though it has a lot of people who vote for Remain and are Remainers, as in most of the government at the moment, which I feel is wrong because at the end of the day, the people of the whole of the UK are being misrepresented at the moment because we voted out. Now, whether, like Claire Hannah says, the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain, understand that. But the whole country as a whole voted out. And therefore, at this moment in time, the whole country...
Well, the government backed those amendments last night.
Yes, but the backdoor amendment, the actual thing that is being put through Parliament, Theresa May at the moment, is saying something to Europe. Europe is saying no. And instead of going, well, actually... This is how it is. If you don't like it, you come back with something else. Stand it up for herself. She's just going, OK, let's water this down even more. We might as well not have Brexit at the moment because it's going to be so watered down to the point that, well, we're kind of out, but actually we're 99% in. It's getting to the point where we look a joke. And I am pro-Brexit, and I get that, yes, there are plenty of people who are Remainers. And I would be, if I had some kind of say, I would be more than happy to sit down with people such as Claire Hannah and come up with a deal. But at the moment, we take it as we're getting it from Europe instead of having a bit of a backbone about ourselves.
Okay. John, thank you. Jim, just to bring you back in here, are you concerned to any extent that we might crash out of this or there'll be no deal or we in fact will not leave?
It would be good to get a deal because it would apply absolute certainty, but it has to be the right deal. The Prime Minister said 2 years ago that no deal was better than a bad deal. What she's now angling for is a bad deal, and in those circumstances, no deal would be better. When you say crash out, you know, we would crash out in the sense that we would then deploy WTO rules, which we deploy for our trade with the rest of the world in the main. And we have imports and exports to the rest of the world on the basis of WTO rules.
Yeah, so but of course, what about the single market rules and the businesses here?
Just let me finish the point. We equally would have trade imports and exports with the EU on WTO rules. They cannot refuse to trade with you on WTO rules. So we would still have that trade. And crashing out is an emotive term, which suggests disaster. It would be far from disaster. The real disaster would be the course we're presently on with the Prime Minister, which has been somewhat diverted last night, but needs to be diverted further.
Let me reword the question, Jim. Sorry, I will come back to you in a second, Claire. If we were to leave without a deal, do you think there could be any negative repercussions off that?
I think leaving without a deal is highly preferable to what's been suggested by the Prime Minister, and I think that the United Kingdom would thrive outside the EU, whether we leave with a deal or without.
Would there be any negative consequences in the short term, for example?
Well, I don't honestly see them in comparison with what's presently been offered, because you're dealing with an EU which doesn't want to negotiate. You're dealing with an EU which is malevolent in its attitude, which hasn't given.
Have you spoken
anything,
to any businesses about this, Jim, to gauge their concern about what might happen?
Of course I've
And they're not concerned that if we were to leave without a deal, what that could mean for them.
Let me remind you, the vast majority of businesses in the United Kingdom do not even trade with anyone. They produce their goods and they're consumed largely locally. Of course, those who trade are vital. But those who trade have traded very successfully. Wow. Let's take Wrightbus in my constituency. Some of its greatest deals are way outside the EU. They sell to Singapore. They sell to Hong Kong. They sell to all sorts of places. And they do it under WTO rules. And yet that's one of the most successful companies we have. So this doom and gloom that's painted, that if we crashed out and had to survive on WTO rules, we'll be in starvation.
Well, there you go, Claire Hannah. WTO rules will be there.
Example and answer to that.
an absolute nonsense for a start, saying that we can just fall back on WTO trade rules. Agricultural imports would be hit with tariffs of between 5 and 30%. You tell that to somebody who's exporting agricultural products.
Do you know what the agricultural tariffs in the EU are?
They're going to be smacked on.
Sorry, Claire, do you know what the agricultural tariffs in the EU are?
They vary, Jim. They vary. But
it's up to 50%. On average, 18 to 20%.
Well, exactly. So if you,
because the EU is a protectionist colony, protecting its own base. If we were trading on world terms, it would be so.
This is really important.
Okay.
This is really important because they're trying to spoon feed people this ridiculous view of the economy. In terms of right, boss, yeah, maybe they do trade to Singapore. Do you think their raw material comes from? People are in supply chains. Do you think that we have the supply of steel and rubber and all of the other things that Wrightbus used to assemble buses to send to Singapore? They come from all over the world, so they'd all be slapped with tariffs coming in and then tariffs going out. That's why
WTO tariffs are the lowest in the world.
They exist. We get things from elsewhere. If you look,
one at a time, right?
I mean, I defy you to go out. Jim is saying that the vast majority of businesses want to see a no deal. That is insane. Any business organisation, the CBI, Federation of Small Businesses, Retail NI, Tourism NI, are all very clear about the anxiety that businesses are feeling over Brexit and over the belief that their views aren't being represented by political representatives.
Okay.
People are not chugging down this no deal stuff. It would be economically catastrophic.
Okay, Albert on the phones. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, Clare, first of all, will not accept the referendum, that it was a United Kingdom referendum which we belong to. And I think she needs to start accepting that. Instead of trying to say, this constituency voted 70-30, this constituency voted 60-40. It was a UK referendum. And I would like to ask Clare one thing. Does she think that the European Union is a democratic organisation? Because I believe it's not, because it's a dictatorship which dictates to countries. Like, we get our money back, I think it's $9 billion, and they tell us how to spend that $9 billion. But let me quote something.
You've asked her a question, so let's let Claire respond.
Claire. Denmark rejected the Maastricht Treaty in 92 and were told to vote again. Ireland rejected the Nice Treaty in 2001. And we're told to vote again. Holland.
Okay, look, you put a question to Claire, so let her respond. I'll chair this, not you, Albert. Thank you. Claire, your response to that.
Yes, I do think the EU is democratic. Is it perfect? No. I don't think you could administer any project with 500 million moving parts, i.e. citizens, and things to be plainly democratic. But I think it's just as democratic as any other parliament. And the fact is, the UK has had an enormous number of MEPs, whatever it is, about 10% of them, but they've all gone over and screamed and shouted about how... ask Jim Allister, what did he actually do to reform the parliament when he was an MEP drawing a big salary in the European Parliament? You know, yes, of course, there are rules that I think should change, as there are in the Assembly, as there are in Westminster, as there are in the Dáil, because, democracy is quite complicated. It's certainly not a dictatorship, and we get far, far more back some of the other questions that I can't remember what your caller asked about it being a dictatorship. No, I think that's nonsensical.
Okay, Jim Allister, last word on this to you.
The EU has to be one of the most undemocratic organisations there is, because the power in the EU lies with the EU Commission. Who elects them? No one. They're utterly unelected. In fact, they probably are the unelectable, because they tend to be redundant politicians
from
various members.
Billy, I need to come
back. The EU Commission is the powerhouse. It makes the decision and no one elects it.
We are going to move on shortly.
Claire. Billy, I need to say, it's the same way. Ministers aren't directly elected by the people. They're appointed by the government.
As our
commissioners are appointed by the government. And there was another point there that just didn't bear scrutiny about. Yes, the EU has some rules that aren't absolutely the same as Westminster. I don't see Jim, by the way, gunning for the House of Lords. They're unelected as well. I take it he thinks that chamber should disappear.
I think that getting rid of the House of Lords could be a very good thing.
Okay.
Oh, good.
They have
all right, we have agreement.
Really is drawing interest.
Almost trying to stop Brexit.